Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Scheman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I have the feeling that all of Southwest Florida, everybody who regularly listens to this show, is pulling the car over, turning up the radio. What will Craig say following his Lions beatdown of Pete's Patriots 26-10 on Sunday Night Football? A game in which Matt Patricia had more throwing yards with the red flag in the second quarter than Tom Brady had all day.
Throw.
It's an awesome toss. The Mighty Lions, it feels like we won the Super Bowl last night. Chris asked me before the show started, does that feel like a satisfying 1-2 record? I said yes. Feels like we won it all over your mighty Patriots. Obviously, Tom Brady has seen the cliff and fallen off. It is over with. Matt Patricia, a genius hire by the Detroit Lions, showed the rest of the NFL a blueprint on how to beat down the mighty Patriots. It's over, Pete Shepard. Why don't you come on over to our side? Even Gronkowski is having second thoughts of turning down the trade by the Lions and the Patriots in April, which he refused to follow through on because he wanted to stay with the Patriots. I am basking in the glory of the 26-10 beatdown last night on Sunday Night Football and the avoidance of an 0-3 start. How are you, Pete Shepard?
Well, I feel like I have the narc list. You know why? Because you have been disavowed as a Lions fan. You don't exist, sir. You are non-existent to the Lion community. You know why? Because it was me, Pete Shepard, who tried to lure you, Craig Scheman, way in off the cliff after the beatdown the Jets gave your pathetic Lions on that one night. You were way overboard. I said you would probably cover against the 49ers and come back. You showed some character in that game. Pete right again, Craig wrong, and nowhere to be found in Lions land. He's off in Narnia somewhere trying to find Mr. Tumnus to find out how to kill the witch. But there it is again, me picking the Lions on Friday, you picking the Patriots thinking it was going to be a blowout. Now, that being said, I congratulate – you're disavowed, so I'll congratulate you anyway. But I congratulate you in life. Yeah, and I'll get into my little theory because I've seen this act before. And I will say this before I get into my little 30 seconds of incredibleness of what happened over the weekend.
Oh, but okay.
Here's the thing with the Patriots, and this is why I'm so glad I do not have to work in New England this weekend, because this is where you hear every – knucklehead, even though they've been through some of this scenarios before, it is so far-fetched, over the top, much like you, disavowed Scheman and his Lions, just how you've acted. They are 10 times worse than that. But I will only say this, okay?
Yes.
It's week three. Edelman isn't back yet. I want to see this team with Edelman. Hopefully Josh Gordon will be playing within the next couple of weeks, if not next week. Once they have their full arsenal of weapons... And if they're still playing like this, then we can have the conversation. They have issues right now, absolutely, on both sides of the ball. There is no question about it. But I want to see them with their full arsenal of weapons. Probably weeks 5 through 7 is where I will make my judgment to see where this team is at then. And if not, what you better get used to if you're a Patriots person is very similar to what could have been 2009 season, where they'll make the playoffs, but... They shut down Moss and they shut down Welker and they couldn't do anything else. They didn't run the ball particularly well that year, and that's the year they lost in the first round to the Ravens. Besides that, you substitute Gronk and Edelman for those two guys, you might have the same thing depending on what happens with Gordon here. Now Gordon becomes a much more important piece. But for now, kudos to the Lions, but there is a long, long way to go, and it's just not... It's insane to say that they're out of it, that Tom Brady looks old, all this stuff. They looked bad last night. They were outplayed. They were outcoached. I grant you all that. Now, that being said, between the Buffalo Bills, between the Patriots looking how they did, between the Lions getting a 100-yard rusher,
for the first time in 70 games.
And Cozy Perry taking over in a Baker Mayfield type of situation and just dominating FIU. And I don't think he's losing that job, by the way. To me, going 6-0 with my picks heading into tonight.
Oh, man.
To Tiger Woods, which is one of the most, I can honestly say, the one of the most incredible sports scenes of my lifetime, watching him walking up 18, like right out of that old Nike commercial, which was fake at the time, back at, you know, what, 15 years ago. Same scenario, except this was real. I have never seen anything like it. Tiger parting, like Moses parting the Red Sea. And then maybe the biggest upset overall in a long time, Old Dominion beats Virginia Tech by two touchdowns.
What a weekend.
It's chaos.
It is utter chaos.
Old Dominion.
We haven't even mentioned that Chris's Dolphins have a magic number of 12 to win the AL East. I mean, you talk confidently about
boys.
The Patriots making the playoffs. Not so fast. The Dolphins are about ready to wrap up the division if they beat the Patriots next week.
And they will have a great chance to beat the Patriots next week. It'll be the first time since the Wildcat game in 2008. It's been 10 years since they won the Foxborough, and they'll have a great chance to win this weekend. They're catching them at the right time.
Yeah, listen, Josh, it's obvious that the Patriots have no game downfield offensively right now with Edelman out, and you just double-team Gronk, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm more concerned about you on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, it's been
right now
2013
too.
Since we had a 1,000 or a 100-yard rusher in a game.
The linebackers are slow. They look disinterested.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
They look slow. And,
I am a big fan of this Frank Ragnow, which Matt Patricia clearly overreached to draft at number 20 overall. That guy pancaked every one of your linebackers, man.
Lovely Elaine last night. I was going, look at this guy. I go, Craig came in after the draft and was like, well, you got to build in the trenches. Now, he had that one penalty on him. That guy was taking out three people at once.
That was
fun. He was taking out three Patriots at once during some plays of that game. It was
he's my new favorite offensive lineman. That was incredible.
The guy that you said, you sat in that chair a day after the draft. We had Buffalo Wild Wings. You came in here and said, who is that?
We all did, but I led the way. Yes, I did. I was just a
you should have been disavowed then. But.
Oh, man.
But that was, you know, and the Miami Dolphins, that was a great game. Even when, you know, what was great about watching them play is even when they were losing, you knew they weren't out of it. Last year, you felt like they would get lose by 20 when they were in that scenario, when they were down in that game yesterday. But that's a big character game. I know they got banged up on defense, and they lost the defensive lineman for the year. But
that stupid rule is killing the league, literally.
That rule is... They have to whisper, wink, wink. Roger Goodell has to get word to the refs this week and just say, cool it.
We spent all summer talking about the helmet rule, but we took our eye off the ball. It's this new roughing the passer deal. Clay Matthews is now 3-3 games. And I will say this, the Clay Matthews hit this weekend. Of the three that he's had, I thought this was the closest to being a penalty.
I thought just the opposite.
Of the three, the one against Minnesota, there's no way that should have been a penalty.
The one against Minnesota, he at least lifted up.
Yeah. And he was off to the side. I don't understand the Minnesota one. I thought no way should he have been penalized.
No, the Minnesota one I'm saying is the closest to he at least, listen, you got to go back and like slow-mo it, but he at least does pick up Kirk Cousins 2 weekends ago and fall on him. I mean, this one, Clay Matthews rolled off of Alex Smith with his hands in the air.
Not till after he hit him and landed on him. But here's part two to my answer. There was nothing else humanly possible that Clay Matthews could have done. I mean, it was a textbook run into
a
quarterback.
Hit anybody.
You have to land on the guy. I mean, I know he tried, but actually when him trying to flip his body, I've kind of put his shoulder into him and drove him in a little more. I don't know what else the guy could have done. But of the three impacts he had, I thought that was the most driving into the turf
I disagree. I agree with Chris. I think it was the first, but they were all bad calls, so they have to.
But Minnesota, there's no way the Minnesota one should have been a penalty.
The Minnesota Green Bay game, the one that wasn't did not involve Clay Matthews. There was another big nose tackle there. Florio, by the way, I don't know if you saw Florio this morning. What bee was in his bonnet today? He was just
a cranky
little bitch all morning long.
Whoa!
He was. I mean, he was just like, I mean, all morning, like, actually felt bad for Sims. He was just like cranky, you know?
What's wrong?
Anyway,
what's
maybe he had a weekend like me against the spread.
What were you doing?
But
listen, pigskin picks aside, in my own personal Skittle account. Man, it got to the point from yesterday afternoon. I said, okay, we're putting the phone up. We're done.
Yeah.
This can't happen anymore.
Wow. You lost some Skittles, huh?
I was okay.
Terrible.
But they showed a highlight this morning from the Green Bay Minnesota game, and it was a nose tackle, I believe, for the Packers, who came in on Cousins, and he had his left hand was almost all the way around him, like a little mini half hug.
Yeah.
And his right hand was about to touch him, and he basically threw his hands up in the air and said, okay, you're down. Well, the ref didn't blow the whistle. Cousins takes off to the left and rushes for 15 yards and a first down. And that's, you know, he could have got walloped there, but the Packer guy hands off. So there's absolutely a problem here. It's bad. And I agree with Clay Matthews completely. It's becoming too soft. It's ridiculous. You can't let textbook tackles happen. There's a problem here.
What are they going to do? Seriously, what's he going to do?
You've got to tell the officials secretly. You've got to have Roger Goodell or Al Riveron call down, memo the officials off the record and say, look, okay, we know we told you to throw a lot of flags. Now you're gonna knock it off, which is not fair to the officials.
The NFL has backed up the officials to the point yesterday they did something I've never seen them do before. They backed up the officials that day, the day of. They've never done that before. They wanted to nip this in the bud right away. I thought Mike McCarthy, who's about one Big Mac shy of a heart attack, I thought he was going to lose it on the sideline there on the officials on that call.
He looked like a turnip on steroids ready to explode. I mean, it was I don't blame him. I don't blame him one bit. I don't blame him one bit. But there is an absolute problem here. And then, unfortunately, what happens when you have a problem like this is then you have injuries that happen with William Hayes, who's trying to avoid the sack and a flag. And we talked about, didn't we say this was going to happen? You're going to hurt yourself.
You're going to hurt yourself
because of this penalty. Yep. That's what happened here. And that is a damn shame that he is out for the rest of the year.
Totally. Totally agree with you. I don't want to say this because it sounds bad with the words coming out of my mouth. But if you want to do anything about this rule, you need about two or three more of those. Key defensive lineman blowing out knees on play, trying to avoid quarterbacks.
You've already had Richard Sherman come out today and say that the NFL doesn't care about player safety. They care about their quarterbacks.
That's exactly
and,
yeah.
and that's
He's out 3 weeks, too, now.
The calf strain, though. But
that
there
could
was,
be an effect of the Achilles, right?
But there was some scare. If you saw Sherman limping off yesterday, there was some scare that he re-injured that Achilles. So the calf strain isn't the end of the world. I believe it's the same injury that kept Vita Vea out for 7 weeks.
Yep. Yeah, no doubt.
I know that there's different severity to it, different levels, but you know that kept him sidelined for 7 weeks. And if you're Richard Sherman, you can't step back out onto the field if it's 98%. Like, that thing has to be 100 or else you're risking re-injury.
Richard Sherman is the least of the 49ers' problems right now. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo trying to do a hard cut on the sideline and fight for an extra yard blows out his leg. It looks like an ACL. We'll get confirmation probably this afternoon. I mean, but you had you got people from other teams saying, dude, quarterbacks have to be safe. You got to go out of bounds on plays like that. Even the defense in that game, I think the Chiefs were saying we were going to concede and let him go and not hit him. And then he cuts back in and blows out the leg. Can't do it. You got to be smarter than that.
Yeah, absolutely. He could have gone out of bounds right there, as you said. It's a shame, but you know what? We're not surprised, right? I mean, how about Carson Wentz moving around the way he did? That was stunning to me how nimble he was yesterday getting out. And, you know, they squeaked out a win again. But he looked much better, you know, moving around than I thought he would.
Yeah, but the story of that game.
He's got to be careful, too.
The story of that game, though, is Andrew Luck coming back, gets the team ready for the Hail Mary at the end of the game. And then we learned that he obviously cannot throw 50 yards with his bad shoulder. Jacoby Brissett comes into the game. Here's your superstar quarterback, and he's not in for the Hail Mary. That's going to change how defenses play him. They're not going to be extra soft on cover twos. That was very telling for Andrew Luck yesterday.
Nope. What's okay, Craig? We know Jacoby's good. It's okay, Craig.
Yes, we'll hear from Andrew Luck at really South Street later.
It's really good. You know, it's keen. You know, we only lost by 4. It's okay. The sun came up this morning, Craig.
Wow. We'll hear from Andrew Luck during South Street later.
I was peeing my pants this morning. I played the long clip on, oh, my God. God bless him. I mean, I like him. His answers are must listen. Oh. I mean, absolutely. I just hear Andy Griffith theme in the background every time he talks.
No question about it. Speaking of quarterback, what an awkward time to put Josh Rosen in the game. The Bears-Cardinals game, Josh Rosen makes his debut with, what, four and a half minutes to go, and with the game on the line? That's odd. Yeah. And look, I was calling. It's obviously it's not working for Sam Bradford and the Cardinals offense. And last week I was saying it was time to make some changes, but not with 4 minutes to go in a one-score ball game. That was bizarre.
That was totally unfair because all the rookies, right, all of them have now gotten their chance, right, the top five we've seen. And this was, I felt
no,
so
not Lamar.
Oh, Lamar. But Lamar's been in games, though, where he's
He's got his packages, but he hasn't started
He hasn't started. But you know what I'm saying? He's been put in situations that are not going to make him look bad. This kid was thrown in there at the end. That was bad, bad, bad coaching right there. And just I hope he starts next week because that offense is terrible.
Let's go to the phones. 239-337-ESPN. A lot to talk about with the NFL, college football, Tiger Woods. We're going to get to all of it here over the next 4 hours. Dr. Smith from Port Charlotte, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. How are you, sir?
Doctor.
Hey, guys. I mean, you guys are comedians. You are exemplary. You are like the Rowan of Martin of Laughing. I really appreciate it. I watch you guys on the radio all the time, even though my eyes can't see you.
Okay.
But let me tell you, you've been dead wrong. You are dead wrong right now about this roughing the passer thing.
Remember,
I'm going to bring you back in history a little bit. President Roosevelt had to put in an act of Congress to stop all the high school boys from being killed in high school football. And do you remember a man named Knight Train Lane? You remember Night Train Lane?
Of course.
Night Train Lane, coup de grace was to grab the face mask and bring the man down by the face mask. Okay, Jerry Rice and all of the quarterbacks have been abused by defensive players because what's most important to defensive players is not the fact that they tackle, which, by the way, has been gone by the wayside, but that they make the hit. And the hit is resulting in tremendous injuries, not only, take Ronnie Lott, not only to the hit E, but the hit R. Ronnie Lott has suffered tremendous neck injuries. And when you guys sit there and say, well, they're going overboard with this roughing the passer thing. No, it's been 350-pound guys putting their entire weight on a quarterback. It's been defensive backs not trying to.
All right, Doctor.
I'll bet you the entire league agrees with us.
Before I take away your PhD. No. Well, hang on a second. Listen 1 second. Do you think what Clay Matthews did yesterday was illegal?
It doesn't matter.
Yes or no? Answer the question. Doesn't. Yes or no?
Okay.
Was it illegal?
Was it illegal? No.
Okay. Goodbye. Well, nice talking to you.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking,
about Ronnie Lott and Night Train Lane and Johnny Unite. We're talking about 2018 on September 20th.
Face masks still get pulled. Go look at, was it Kenyon Drake yesterday who had his face mask ripped off?
Hold on. Before we go any further, you know how Mr. Millennial on the other side of the glass, his head spins if we make a reference that's more than 5 years old on the show.
Night Train Lane.
No, did we get an FDR reference there? Did we go all the way back to the 1940s?
We all know we tried FDR. Tried to outlaw football. That's, you know, we get that. So now you're going, now we're going back to World War II. What's Winston Churchill think of the NFL back then? Anyone else? Let's get the allies together. Any of them still alive? No. The presidents and
the only thing we have to fear.
Emperors back then? Oh, my God. That's right. The only thing we have to fear is Al Riveron. So we don't know what rules are going to be implemented.
Wow. The only thing that understands those references that caller was making was Tom Brady's helmet. He went back to the old helmet.
Went back to the old one for season.
Which will be outlawed next year.
Yes.
Because it's safe enough this year, but not next year.
He's I think he's the only one. Aaron Rodgers uses the same kind of helmet. They don't have that little cushion impact thing on the front anymore. And Tom Brady says the old helmet has better vision for him. And it's grandfathered in for the old timey guys that are allowed to use it. Boy, did he look old last night, by the way.
Tom Brady
looked the whole 55 years old.
I don't think he looked old at all. I think he looked
disinterested.
The offensive looked inept, and Josh McDaniels came out today and said, I'm going to do a way better job, which is obvious.
Here's what I saw from the pit, and I'm really not giving you a hard time now, Pete. Both sides of the ball, there looked like there was a lack of energy. But
no, there absolutely was a lack of energy.
And a
disinterest.
It kind of hit me when the defensive end Wise got a sack early in the third quarter, and he's screaming and hooting and hollering, and nobody else is doing it. You could tell he was trying to get his teammates jacked up, and it wasn't happening. And they look unathletic.
I'm telling you, it's
they
it's
look slow.
It's a great point, and I bring this one up a lot. And if you go back to 2009, remember the part where Belichick is yelling? Same exact point. You say he's like, you just went, all that energy, made a play. You should be out of prep. You should be celebrating. He goes, look at the rest of you sitting around.
And that's how it looked last night.
And it's week three, except when Belichick said that, it was like week seven or eight. It was like after the New Orleans debacle, they got blown out. But, yeah, disinterested, lack of speed, lack of enthusiasm, bad play calling, you name it. No question about it. Not having Flowers there, not having Chung didn't help either. But well, that, and just the linebackers look way too slow. It's thank God it's only week three.
And the Marvin Jones touchdown, which I believe was like a 35-yard pass into the end zone, that was a clear blown assignment on the back end that you figure when Chung is in there, that doesn't happen. Yeah. I've seen this too many times to say that the Patriots can't turn around, because we all know that the Patriots can turn it around. But you have to be the biggest Patriot homer in the world to at least admit that they don't need to turn it around. Like, well, this team right now, I'm not afraid as a Dolphins fan. I'm not afraid of the New England Patriots.
I'll tell you why. Look back at 2-2 last year, I think the Patriots were still scoring points. They're not. They're at a premium. I think that's a big difference. And yeah, they don't have any long deep threat. That's until people come back. I totally get that.
Like I said, weeks 5 through, once Edelman is back, not next week, but the week after, weeks 5 through 7, and Gordon hopefully is going to make some sort of an impact on this team. If they're still lethargic on offense, when those two guys are back, assuming there's no other big time injuries, then that's going to be a major issue. Then that'll be like the 2009 season all over again. But I got to pump the brakes and just wait. They looked awful. And look, the Lions. Let's not take credit away from the Lions. I give them a lot of credit. Garrett Blunt was running the ball right down their throat.
They out-physicaled the Patriots last night. They didn't have to throw the ball to be effective, but they could do that if they wanted to as well.
Yeah.
Since I've seen that running game.
And I was thinking about it last night, saying, who's got the best receiving core? You know, the Lions receiving core with the immersion of this kid Galladay.
Yeah.
You put him with Marvin Jones and Golden Tate in the slot. Now, I don't know too many teams that have a better three than what they roll out there with. And I'm telling you guys, Kerryon Johnson, I was whispering his name throughout preseason, throughout everything. He's the real deal.
Yeah.
You got a weapon at running back.
Love him.
You got weapons at wide receiver.
You, sir, are not allowed to love anybody on that team.
I do. I don't know what you're talking about.
I told you. I've been
all positive all year. I don't know what you're talking about.
Dog fight the entire season. Your Lions are right in it. You're only a game back. Everybody else has one loss. Green Bay, why isn't anybody ripping on Green Bay for what they did?
Because Clay Matthews hogging the storyline there.
And the Minnesota Vikings to lay that gigantic of an egg. Whoa. And I know it happens. And I understand they were banged up yesterday. I get all that. But that was – and kudos to Josh Allen. Good for him.
I got a story on that game.
Yeah.
Check this out. I'm at Mass yesterday, and my pastor is from Buffalo, and he's a huge Bills fan. And he was talking about, the first shall be last and the last shall be first, ha-ha, Bills, and all this kind of stuff. He goes, well, I'm not going to pray for the Bills today because I see Mike Zimmer's mom sitting in the front row in her big purple dress, who apparently is a member of my parish, and she's getting ready for the Vikings game.
Get her on the show.
How about that? Yeah, I should have got her number during communion. That would have been good. So, yeah.
During communion.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's bad form.
Poor form, yeah, absolutely.
Who's inactive?
Yeah. Can you help me with my fantasy football team, please?
Now, will she have like a Bills jersey waiting for her next week when she shows up?
I don't know. We'll have to see how that goes. By the way, I think we have a correction on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line.
Yeah,
I think it was Teddy Roosevelt, FDR.
No, you're right.
You got to go back to the like early 1900s on this reference we had earlier today.
You're absolutely correct. It was Teddy Roosevelt. Absolutely correct. I remember doing a paper on that in high school, too.
Oh, man. Mm. All right.
It was wrong then.
Good old Roosevelt era.
Era.
They're black and white and books.
You and your cranky phones and your radio tubes.
not during Teddy. Teddy predates all broadcast media.
Well, no, there was Teddy had.
No, he did radio, right? Radio
no, there. FDR did radio for the Fireside Chats.
Well, no, that, but oh, wasn't
was
that
radio
it?
Was not. No, no.
What was radio invented? When did Marconi invent the?
I think like, I'm going to guess like 1921.
Wasn't that? Was it? I thought it was.
There was okay. no radio in the early 1900s when Teddy Roosevelt was president.
We had the cranky phones though, the ones you crank.
I'm going to have to check your numbers on that one.
Go ahead. I stand by my comment. Number 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776.
Fins up, Dolphins.
We are basking in the glory of the Lions. Chris is going to try and commandeer this with some Dolphins talk. Pete's host today. He can't say nothing. His Patriots suck.
I'm not basking in the glory of that. All I know is I am 6-0, and you pick the Patriots. I pick the Lions.
Nothing like having your team.
Congratulations to me.
Pete, nothing like having your team going into October 3 games out of the division.
It's already sewn up.
But you said the key word there.
I looked at the
October.
Standings, and the Dolphins already have an X next to their name in the standings.
They're in the playoffs already. It's unbelievable.
And the Cozy Perry era has begun at the U, and he ain't going to lose his job. I don't care how many people took reps
don't
today
change
at practice.
The subject. Yeah, this pretty, is Dolphins talk.
Hey, it should be. I love their spirit. Yeah, that was a good character game yesterday.
And I do want to talk more about Tiger as well, because that was fun.
Just, oh, man. All right. Goosebumps.
Felt like I was 13 again.
No, 13. All that did coming up.
Felt like I was 20.
Warming up on a Monday. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN, online at 99.3ESPN.com. Sheeman and Shepherd.
We will continue to take phone calls on the dominance of the future Super Bowl winner Detroit Lions after their pummeling of Pete's Pats last night on Sunday Night Football. We have the Buccaneers tonight against the Steelers and, of course, Chris's Dolphins.
Tell me the reasoning why you picked the Patriots on Friday again. We can play the tape.
Points. Points. Just points. One thing I did with my head, and I was wrong. The other thing I did with my heart, and loved every minute of it. And then there's Chris.
We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. Because when you say Miami, you're talking
3-0!
Come on, Southwest Florida. Get excited, huh?
We did have a guy text earlier in the opening segment. Where was the Dolphins song?
Don't even need our quarterback to throw touchdown passes. We got receivers that'll throw.
But didn't you feel a confidence yesterday, though, Chris, unlike last year when they were losing in that game? You know, it didn't feel like they were. You felt like they had the ability to come back, and they did. Last year at this time, you feel like with Tannehill out and Cutler in there, you're like, oh, God. It ain't going to happen.
I definitely think that this team showed a little bit of character yesterday. Like, they had three defensive linemen go out.
Yeah.
I mean, when you get three, you know, two for injury and one because Branch was an idiot and ripped somebody's helmet off. You can't do that.
That was a little rough.
You can't do that and put your team in that position. But the fact is, they got to win, and they got to win when they had three of their defensive linemen go out. They got it done when Tannehill wasn't the greatest. They didn't have the running game to lean on, so they had to invent creative ways to get some points. I know, and they did it. And
they did.
Okay, so maybe the players didn't outplay the Raiders, but the Dolphins coaches sure as heck outcoached John Gruden and
John
his staff.
John Gruden looked very confused all day. He sure did. Let's go to the phones and talk to the people of Southwest Florida. 239-337-ESPN. Let's start off with Frank in Naples. You're almost Sheeman at Shepherd. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
How you guys doing? Love the show.
Great.
I listen to it every day.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Couple things. I'm super, super happy that Kirk's second cousin's in Minnesota. All you Viking fans out there, he will let you down more than he will do anything for you.
Yeah.
And the more important issue about the roughing the passer, I'm a diehard Redskins fan, and that was an atrociously bad call.
Yeah.
I thought the hit that they put on Rodgers, I think it was the third quarter, was worse than that, and they didn't throw no flag.
No.
Yeah,
that's the problem. They're so inconsistent with it.
No, that's the other thing. And inconsistent. I mean, last week, I don't know how you Redskins lost to Indianapolis, or they just looked so inept on offense,
and then come right back. The Redskins are that way. Don't lose to Buffalo next week if they play them. I mean, they're just that way.
Yeah.
I'm used to it by now. When I was in high school, they were a dominant team in the 80s. But now, it's just, you know.
Well, they got a lot of offensive weapons. I think you're going to see more of what you saw against Green Bay than what you saw against Indianapolis. Because I don't know how they only had 9 points in that, whatever it was. They should have had more. But that's a good offensive Washington Redskins team. So
Adrian Peterson appears to be for real too. Right
this week, where was he last
week?
Well,
two out of the three weeks, he's been pretty decent. That's pretty good. Let's go to Chris in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Hey guys, love the show.
Thanks, Chris.
You know, I'm a Dolphins fan. As the guy that drove to the first preseason game with his 8.5-month-old.
Oh, I remember that.
Wife. Yeah.
You know, I drove back from that game thinking, man, we're going to suck this year. If you would have told me that we were going to be 3-0, sitting two games ahead of the Patriots in first place, I would have said, man, what are you smoking? You know that?
Yeah.
That's a phenomenal effort. And the point that Chris made about our defensive line, I'd like to see the Dolphins make a move to try to, replace Hayes there. He was doing really good at the start of the
season. Absolutely. They're going to do something.
What are you going to get that's good position? You know, that's a premium.
You know, I got to see what they have on the practice squad first, but obviously the depth chart, somebody's going to move up, but they might check out the waiver wire. There's always players out there that you forget about that are out there, but it's really it's too bad. It comes, when they're playing so well, starting off 3-0, but you know, it's just a ways to go here.
But this is going to happen to every team. I mean, this is why the deeper rosters always in, because by the time you hit December, man, if you're lucky, if you have 40 of your original 53 still on the roster at that point, you're lucky if you have that. So it's going to happen to every single team. You hope it doesn't happen to the quarterback. You hope it doesn't happen to your big time pass rusher. And maybe a handful of other players, but it's going to happen to everybody. Yeah. It happened 2 weeks ago when I'm forgetting the offensive lineman who went down with the foot. Was it Ted Larson or Ted Larson came in.
Larson came in for
Sutton.
That's it. Yeah,
Sutton. So it's going to happen. This is where the depth of your organization starts to show itself.
Let's go back to the phones. Yeah. John, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Hello.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Listener, man.
Thanks.
Good job on the show.
Thank you.
I got kind of a roller coaster story as a Dolphins fan, as only we would go through it.
Okay.
I just want to preface this by saying that my son just started soccer, 4-year-old. And they scheduled the games at 2:30 in the afternoon.
On Sunday afternoon?
On a Sunday afternoon. Yes, sir.
Kidding me.
Oh, Lord.
Death blow.
So I'm going over my options on how I could watch the game.
Yeah.
And I finally come to NFL Game Pass where I can watch the games after it's done, right?
Yep.
So me and my wife, we go into total shutdown mode. No phones, no updates.
Sure.
No nothing. And my son plays a game, ends in a tie. We go home. I'm gonna try to watch the game at 4:30.
Hold on. Imagine soccer ending in a tie. That's a shocker.
Yeah.
That was a low blow.
And so 4:30 comes around, and nothing. I can't watch the game. I'm thinking, what's going on? Is the internet? I checked that. No. And I had read that you could watch the games immediately after it was over.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking something's wrong. So I go on the Game Pass website, and you can't watch the games until 8 p.m.
Mm.
So once again, I'm in agony. I don't know, what happened. No. So I got to kill some time until 8:30 or 8:00. So I'm out running errands. My phone is still off. So I'm thinking, well, what if my wife needs to get a hold of me? I need to turn the phone on. So when I do, I try to leave it to where I'm not getting any updates. I turn the cellular off and the Wi-Fi in case I were to connect somewhere.
Yeah.
So and I get a text from my buddy.
Oh no.
That says, man, the refs really do hate Miami, don't they?
Oh, you were thinking a loss.
Yeah, and I'm thinking a loss. So for the next hour and a half until 8 o'clock, I'm going over every scenario in my head on how the Dolphins messed it up or the refs have messed it up for the Dolphins. So I finally get to watch the game. It's going good, and I'm just waiting for this turnaround where, the refs have screwed it up for Miami. And I'm thinking, when's it coming? And my wife knows the score, and she's smiling the entire time. I don't know anything. She's smiling, sitting next to me on the couch watching the game. Because I'm thinking that the Dolphins have lost. So over the next 2 hours that I get to watch this game, I'm thinking the Dolphins have lost. So it's 28-17. Wilson just has that long run, and I'm thinking, okay, this is where it's going to happen. 2 minutes left. Dolphins are up 11. How's this going to happen?
Yeah.
And this whole time I'm in agony. I'm like, okay, when's it coming? And nothing. The Dolphins win, and this whole time I am just going nuts, trying to figure out.
I have one question for you, Sean. Sean, one question for you. Do you not have DVR capability on your cable?
No, I do not. I live in a deep part of Lehigh where the internet is very slow,
I got you.
I just don't trust Dish Network or anything else.
Okay, I got you.
All right, John. Well, good luck. Enjoy basking in the glory of 3-0. Daniel in Naples. John with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Daniel.
What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Yo, man.
How y'all doing?
Good. Great. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm a Fins fan, bro. I'm doing fantastic.
Fins
baby.
Up, Dolphin.
Fins up.
Hey, 3-0, man. Can I get some props? Nobody's giving the Dolphins any props, man.
Believe me, Chris has got you covered on the show.
I'm trying to temper it and stretch it out over the next week.
All right, so this is my question. I want some expertise advice or some thoughts from you guys.
Yeah.
What do the Dolphins need to do to win the next two games? Because we're 3-0, but we got some real big tests coming up against us.
I'll tell you exactly what you got to do, Daniel. Let me jump in here. Matt Patricia and the Lions, being as awesome as they are, just gave you the blueprint on how to beat the Patriots this upcoming week. Basically, use your running backs as receivers. Have your offensive linemen pancake all the middle linebackers, and you'll win. It's that simple.
Wrong.
That's it.
Let me tell you why it's not that simple, okay? Because I thought the week before was the Jacksonville Jaguars had the blueprint, but oh, guess what? They went to Tennessee and couldn't even get a touchdown.
Well,
why they can't beat Tennessee?
Been a history there.
Said this on Friday. I don't know why Blake Bortles looks like the greatest quarterback of all time versus the Patriots. Not that a lot of people don't lately, but
you have defensive
and why
problems,
they
yeah.
can't beat Tennessee
you
is beyond
me.
That's
why
I said you cannot get caught in that trap in the NFL of look what we did against this team. Well, how can't we do it against that quarterback?
I'm looking right
this quarterback stinks. This quarterback is much better. If you can't stop this one, why can't you stop that one? Go ask the Minnesota Vikings. Go ask the Green Bay Packers. Go ask the Jacksonville Jaguars. 9-6. Go ask a lot of other teams.
There's been with the Patriots and the Dolphins, a couple things have stuck out for both teams. The Patriots, I said this about last night's game in particular, they look slow. They look like they just didn't have enough talent to compete with Detroit last night.
Say that again. It just sounds good.
No, it does sound really good.
And I think it would have happened had they played anybody, honest with you.
But on the flip, I think what the Dolphins have done this year, at least what has been the biggest surprise to me, is the overall team speed of the Miami Dolphins has been, they've looked like one of the faster moving teams on both sides of the ball all season long. I mean, I put them right up there. They look like they've got the speed of like a Kansas City offense. I'm not saying that the output is the same, but with Albert Wilson, with Jakeem Grant, they've Kenny Stills, they've got some real speed on that side of the ball. I think the Dolphins are a faster team going into Fox. That's one thing you cannot coach. You cannot coach faster.
I'll tell you what. You watch next week. Tannehill, Amendola going to carve them up. Carve them up. I'm surprised he even played last week after the hit he took a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he took another big one yesterday.
He did, but he still made some great catches. And that's the kind of guy, right? I mean, they are having trouble stopping anybody, but they will have a tough time stopping him next week. That's going to go. That one won in Foxborough in 2008. They'll have a pretty good shot to win. And again, the last time the Patriots lost three in a row was a long time ago, but they're ripening for the picking on again next week. So that's going to be really, really interesting to see how the Patriots can have Gordon plays. I'm really, really interested because, man, who would have thought this? I mean, they really need him for next week.
They do. And they Edelman, need him.
And but I'm curious as to how quickly he can pick things up. I mean, he just kind of.
I don't think it's that.
I think you give him three routes. Post, flag, nine.
But you know that's not how Tom Brady works.
I know that's not, but you need somebody on that offense that's going to stretch the defense vertically because right now Chris Hogan is not it. Philip Dorsett, which, by the way, did your heart jump up in your throat when you saw him go down with a knee injury?
Yeah.
Because that puts him down to two healthy wide receivers. And Cordarrelle Patterson, does he go on the field for offense or is he strictly a kick returner?
No, he goes on the field. He is not, but he's more of an end around guy. Yes. But it's coming down because he's going to do that. He's almost like Slater. Slater comes in only on special teams, but only if there's an extreme emergency will he come in and play wide receiver.
And for Gordon, I mean, how many guys are allowed to wear? They only have X amount of guys that are allowed to have headphones or whatever. Yeah. He was by himself all night. I'd be sitting next to a coordinator or something trying to pick something up or listen something to headphones.
I was just glad he showed up. It was there.
All right, coming up, we got Sound Street. We got Tiger Woods. We got more on the Dolphins, more on the Lions, around the NFL.
AFC leading Dolphins. They are not just the Dolphins. They are the AFC leading Dolphins. And even if they lose to New England in Foxborough over the weekend, they will still be the AFC East leading Miami Dolphins. Don't forget it, anybody.
And
don't forget it.
And don't forget the Detroit Lions.
September is when you start everything for the Super Bowl.
And the Lions are the best 1-2 team in the National Football League.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. Sound
you
Street.
You are disavowed.
Coming up next, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples, helping men stay in the game and live healthy, happy lives. Check them out online at optimalmale.net. Start you off with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. They were 17-point dogs at Minnesota and won. Talked about trying to spark the team.
Just trying to make a play. I don't know if – I hadn't even seen a replay, so I don't know if there were people close to me. But I was just trying to, you know, ignite a spark in our offense and our team. And I just want to win football games. That's it.
Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes now 13 touchdowns passing through three games. Nobody's ever done that before. He said the offense could be even better.
I know that we're going to keep getting better. We still leaving a lot out there. And so I know if I just play within my game that we'll have a lot of success with how the offensive line's playing and how the running backs are running the ball and catching and how the receivers are playing.
I'm trying to get a Pat Mahomes voice. I am so far away from
now. You do that, and your throat is scratchy for the rest of the day. It's Scotty Farrell for those
it's close to.
It's worse than
Ozron. It's a high pitch. It's a high pitch, Coach O.
Why don't we remember this? What at Texas Tech? I don't remember him sounding like maybe because we didn't.
Because it was Texas Tech, and everybody wants to talk to that attractive coach.
Yeah. All right, we all know that Clay Matthews is having trouble. Three games, three roughing the passers, doesn't understand the new rules.
Like I said last week, the NFL's going to come back, so I put my body on him. But that's a football play. I hit him from the front, got my head across, wrapped up. I've never heard of anybody tackling somebody without any hands. When he gives himself up, as soon as you hit him, your body weight's going to go on him. But, I think we're looking for the hits, that took Aaron out last year, that little extra. If I wanted to hurt him, I could have. I could have put, some extra on him. But, that's football. So, I don't know. I really don't know. Unfortunately, this league's going in a direction that I think a lot of people don't like. I think they're getting soft. And, the only thing hard about this league is the fines that they levy down on guys like me who play the game hard.
He's right.
He is right.
100%.
I think now you just got to push the guy down. Seriously, I think that's permissible. Just push him down and hope he goes down. Doug Peterson talking about the extra magic on the field when Carson Wentz is playing.
Well, it was exciting to get him back out there and all week, really. It started back on Tuesday, with our walkthrough and stuff, and then the whole week just seeing him, how he got in the huddle, talking to the guys, communicating with with the skill guys. Throughout the game today and just kind of getting back to his old self. And again, like always, we'll evaluate. I know he would probably want to get the fumble back. He'd want the pick back and things like that. And those are things that can't happen, especially, in our backed up on our end of the field. But I thought overall he did some nice things, moved around well, extended some drives for us, whether he was running or, escaping the pocket and making some plays down the field. But, I thought for the first time back, not too bad.
Of course, the real story of the game is the Colts had a shot at the end, ready for a Hail Mary, and they put in Jacoby Brissett because Andrew Luck, apparently with the shoulder, he can't throw 50 yards. But I had no problem with it. But Brissett in there, let's take a listen to me talking about it. Here we go.
It took me a second to figure out what was going on, but I support the decision 100%. Jacoby made a heck of a throw, bought some time, and got the ball there. So no, Jacoby has a stronger arm than I do. I mean, it's sort of what I see in practice, and you can ask Coach Wright obviously thinks that as well. And I'll keep working on getting my arm to where it maybe it can hit a 80-yard throw from the minus 30. But no, I think it was no qualms with that decision. Yeah.
Oh, we only lost by four.
But I got to be honest, guys. It was such a great feel. Running out as a Colt, right?
Yeah.
Running out as a Colt. Shoulder.
I'm just happy to be alive. Sun came up today, and I had Lucky Charms for breakfast.
All right. More.
Can I just say one thing? Did you hear what Aaron Rodgers said?
No.
He goes, somebody asked him, he's like, what are you going to do? He's like, I don't know what anything else is going to do. I recommend this. I'm going home and having a scotch.
Ah, yeah, yeah. By the way, with my grocery store stopped carrying my favorite brand of cereal over the weekend.
Ooh.
That was a hit.
Why?
I don't know why. I didn't get
to ask anybody. Management?
No.
Maybe it's just in between shipments.
No, I went with a brand called Heart Health.
Yeah.
It was oats and raisins. It was very healthy.
Yeah.
Didn't have it, so I had to go to the raisin brand with clusters.
Yeah, which is high in sugar, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's not as good, but it's fine.
Huh. That's a bummer.
It's a mushy cereal.
All right, when we come back, more of the dominance of the Detroit Lions as they take over the NFL. Might squeeze in some Dolphins talk and your phone calls, and we got to get to Tiger Woods.
AFC leading Dolphins.
2-3-9-3-3-7.
But those Hurricanes.
Sheeman and Shepherd at 99.3 ESPN.